Ok, buonasera a tutti, grazie per averci invitati di essere con voi stasera, siamo super contenti di vedervi. So that means good evening everybody, thank you so much for inviting us to be here with you this evening. We are very, very happy to be with you this evening. I actually had a scheduling mess up, a communication mess up. I thought I had communicated that we were going to be here this weekend, and then I was looking through my records, maybe 2 weeks ago, and then I saw that I had not communicated, that the person I thought I communicated with actually is someplace else. So I reached out to Corey, and he said, yeah, come on, that's Sunday night, that's fine. What I did not know is that most of your congregation is at camp. I did not know that. We were at the Seneca congregation this morning, and they just got back from camp, and I thought you were on the same camp schedule because a couple years ago you were. But that's fine. Okay. So anyway, you'll have to tell them what I told you, okay? And thank you to everybody. It was a very much a team effort to get this presentation going this evening, and you're going to have to just deal with the fact that there's a black line at the top of the screen. All right. I'm going to give you some information about Italy. You don't have to remember this. This is just to give you some perspective on what we're doing. Italy is about 116,000 square miles, just a little bit bigger than that. It has 59 million people that live in Italy and call it their home. If Italy were a U.S. state, it would be the fifth biggest state. So you have Alaska, Texas, California, Arizona, and then you would have Italy if it were a U.S. state. I feel the same way. Don't worry about that. However, if Italy were a U.S. state, it would be the most populated U.S. state because it has 20 million more people than California. So that's a lot of people, 59 million people in that area. Just to put that in perspective, Missouri is about 69,000 square miles, so a little bit more than half the size of Italy, but it has 10% of the population of Italy, right around 10% of the population of Italy. In Italy, we have about 40 congregations of the Lord's Church. So that's 59 million people, 40 congregations, not even one congregation for every 10 million people. In Missouri, according to 21st Century Christian, there are 407 congregations of the Lord's Church. So you have about 10% of the population, but about 10 times the number of congregations. So this is just, to put it in perspective, we live in Tuscany, which is this area right here. And there are four congregations of the Lord's Church in Tuscany. There's 3.7 million people that call this area their home and just four little congregations. So there's Springfield. I think this is you right here, I think. And these are all the congregations in this area. So you can see we have a lot of work to do and to even get even close to what you have within, say, an hour's drive of where you call home. So that's just to put that in perspective. There's a lot of work to do in Italy. Our work was centered in the city of Florence. You might remember this from last time. And we were working the cities of Prato and Pistoia as well as Florence. However, now we are working exclusively with the Pistoia congregation, and I will explain that in just a few minutes. Here is the city of Pistoia, 91 square miles, population of about 90,000. I don't know if you can tell from this satellite view, but Italians love to live right up on top of each other. They live in apartment buildings, and they cram them all in together. Even when you're out in the countryside in Italy, they live in houses together. They don't like to spread out. I don't know why. So it's a very urban area, about 90,000 people. Now, there's also the province of Pistoia, which I think, so we're in Dade County right now, is that correct? And now, is this a town? Is Bonnie or Bonna a town? No, we nobody knows. What town are we in?
It's a community.
It's a community. We're in Dadeville. Or Aldridge, okay. So you can figure like Aldridge, the city, and then Dade County. Well, Pistoia is a city and like a county, okay? And the county has 290,000 people. The province has 290,000 people. So a lot of people. Now, this work is very, very challenging. You probably remember, I kind of forgot to mention it, on the first screen it said 20 years of laboring for the Lord together. You have actually been supporting our work for 20 years. We first moved to Pohnpei, Micronesia in 2005. It's now 2025, which is hard to believe. And we have been overseas that entire time, in Pohnpei, in Ireland, and now in Italy. When we lived in Pohnpei, Pohnpei was hard to live in. It was difficult to live there, but the work was very easy. Italy is very easy to live in, and the work is very hard. And sometimes I think it might be better the other way, okay? In Pohnpei, we could walk down the road and just ask people, hey, you want to study the Bible? And they would say, yeah, sure, why not? Well, in Italy, that's not really the case, okay? So we have a lot of challenges. We have challenges both external, that is, outside of the churches, and internal, inside the churches. We have some challenges, okay? So let's talk about those. Outside of the church, we have the same problem you have, which is a lack of interest. People who just really don't care about spirituality, people who don't believe in heaven and hell, and so they're hard to reach. Now, they come in two different groups. First, we have, in Italy, Catholics, okay? Now, Italy, obviously, is where the capital of the Catholic Church is found, in Rome. And so, there are a lot of Catholics in Italy. And a lot of them are very faithful. I grew up Catholic, but we went to church maybe twice a year, okay? But these people, they're more faithful than that. We have some neighbors who we share a little yard with. The yard is maybe as big as this building. Oh, not even as big as this building, but about as big as this little area here. And we share that yard with them, and every Saturday morning, they have a group of anywhere from 4 to 8 people that come and sit in their yard and pray to a statue of Mary every Saturday. Okay, so that's, we deal with a lot of that, a lot of Catholics. But then we have the other extreme, which is people who like to have a good time, people who like to party, people who like to go out to clubs and go out dancing and this kind of thing. So we have those two groups of people, and then we have some people in between, okay? A few people in between, but our big, big problem in Italy is just a lack of interest, okay? But then we have problems in the church too. One of those problems is complacency. One of the problems that we have in Italy is the congregations that we work with, all of them are basically dying. And the members, they kind of care about it, but they really don't want to do anything about it. What they really like is to talk about the good old days. Okay? They like to talk about when, you know, this congregation used to have 125, 150 people that came to it. Well, now there's 25 people that come. And of those 25, 23 are 8 years old. So we have a problem, okay? And they just like to talk about the good old days, but don't really seem to want to do much to make the churches grow. Then there's a lot of ignorance. There's a lot of people who go to churches of Christ who have no idea why we believe what we believe, why we do what we do. Very few people that are members of the church in Italy could explain to you why we don't worship with the instrument. For example, a lot of people think it's just our tradition, that's just what we do. A lot of them couldn't tell you what someone must do to be saved. A lot of them couldn't tell you how the church is meant to be organized. And because of this, we have a lot of problems with people wanting to introduce things in these churches that are not found in the Bible. A lot of them have the idea, I'm okay, you're okay. I've talked to many members of the church, and they'll talk about a friend of theirs, and they'll say, well, he's a Christian. And I'll say, well, is he a member of the Church of Christ? And they'll say, well, no, but he's a Christian. Well, no, he's not. Not if he's not a member of the church. He's not a Christian. But we deal with that. Like, they just have this idea that anybody who says that they're saved, anybody who says that they're a Christian is a Christian, and so that's not a big deal. So, you know, think about that. If you thought everybody in this community that goes to church is going to heaven, well, why would you try to teach them about the Church of Christ? Well, you wouldn't, because they're okay. Why ruin anything for them, you know? So that we have that. We have weak or no leadership. There are two congregations in Italy that have elders. And of those two, one of them, their elders are not qualified to be elders. So we have weak and no leadership. And so this is a problem. This is what we're fighting all the time. Now that might be very discouraging. We also have a lot of watered down teaching. I hear sermons sometimes from visiting Italian preachers. And those sermons could be preached in any denominational church on earth. Because there's no doctrine in it. There's just God loves you. And God loves the world. Which is true. God loves you. But you need to hear other things sometimes. So everything is really watered down. So that's pretty discouraging. But it actually gets a little bit more discouraging. And then hopefully by the end of this you'll be encouraged. Okay? So let me tell you about the work in Florence. Where we still live in the city of Florence. And we were working with the church there. And they have a really beautiful building. And they have a pretty long history. They've been a congregation since the 1950s. They've been there a long time. They at one time were a pretty good-sized group. And then in the 1990s, they had a big group of people leave the church because they wanted women to lead in worship. And then some people said, no, the Bible doesn't authorize that. And so this big group of people left. And this congregation, it seems to me, ever since that time, has really struggled. There's always a lot of tension in the congregation. There's always a lot of people arguing with each other. You know, we would have visitors who would come, especially like American tourists. And after worship, this has happened a few times, where they would say, well, what's going on here? What's wrong at this church? There's something wrong. They couldn't understand the language, but they could feel the tension in the air, and it feels bad. It's just not a good place. So Rebecca and I were trying to work with that, trying to bring people together, trying to preach good lessons for them. And it was going okay, but we really decided to concentrate our work on the youth. And so you can't really see his whole face, but that's okay, you'll see him again. That's Daniele. That's Eleonora, and that is John. Now, in this picture, Eleonora is a Christian. The two boys are not. But along with them and some other kids, we started working. Now, one of the problems at Florence was there was no Bible class. They would meet on Sunday morning for worship, and that's it. And so Rebecca and I and a couple other people, we encouraged the congregation to have a Sunday morning Bible class, and they said, okay. But at first, all we had was an adult class and a class for babies. That was it. But we had Gabriele and our daughter, Violet, who weren't learning anything. The adult class was too big for them. The baby class was too easy for them. So Rebecca and I asked if we could teach an intermediate class. And so we started doing that. And this class was going really, really well. So Gabriele, for example, when we first started this class, if you asked him to open his Bible to Daniel, well, he would have no idea where to find Daniel. He might look in Hebrews. He might be in, Revelation, trying to find Daniel. But by the time we actually ended this class, by the time we actually left Florence, well, he could find all the books of the Bible. He knew about Abraham. He knew about David. He knew all those heroes of the faith. Well, he didn't before that. Now, Violet was a better student in the class, I'm going to go ahead and say, out of the two of them. She was my favorite student. But we had a couple other kids that would come sometimes as well. But we were working with the kids, and it was going okay. It was going well. Here are some of the other kids that we were working with, and it was going well. But then we got a visit from one of our elders. Hebrews 13:17 says to obey your elders, for they must give account for your souls. Well, one of our elders came to Italy, and he said, Scott, the elders at Margaret Street, our overseeing congregation, they think you and Rebecca are spreading yourselves too thin. You're trying to work three different cities, three different congregations, and it's too much. So what we want you to do is we want you to just concentrate on one congregation, and we believe you should concentrate on the Pistoia congregation. So I said, okay, but we had committed to work with Florence for 5 years. And at this point, we really hadn't worked with them for 5 years yet. So I asked him, I said, can we continue to work with Florence until January 2025, and then we'll move our work to Pistoia. And they said, yes, that's fine, no problem. However, a few weeks after that, one of the members at Florence, he's an American man, and he said his brother wanted to come to Florence and start an English-speaking church. And most of the members were like, yeah, that's a great idea. And he's going to, oh, by the way, he's going to use our building to start this English-speaking church. And everybody said, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. So wait a minute, hang on. He wants to start an English-speaking Church of Christ? Because if that's the case, I'm on board. And so, no, no, it's not the Church of Christ, but it's like the Church of Christ. Okay. Well, bleach is like water. But I don't want to drink it. Okay. So we found out, I actually called the brother in question, the brother of our brother in Christ. I called him and I asked him, what do you believe? Okay, what do you believe about salvation? Well, you know, baptism is important. Now, is baptism important or is baptism necessary? It's necessary. Okay, yes, it's important, but it's necessary. He didn't say that. You know, if you want to just pray and ask Jesus into your heart, well, that's fine. Basically, it's an ecumenical group. Anything goes. They use the instrument in worship. Women lead in worship. And a lot of the members of the church were just fine with that. But we were not. So we told them, if you invite this man to come and to work with you in our church building, we have to leave. Our elders will not allow us to stay, and our consciences will not allow us to stay. And so they had a vote, and long story short, the people who were in favor of the man coming, they won the vote. There's about 30 people altogether involved in this, and like 17 voted yes, and 13 voted no. So we had to leave, and we moved our work to Pistoia. Now, what ended up happening was that man could not get a visa to move to Italy. So this never happened, okay? That group never came to Italy, but we still had to leave. In fact, the members of Florence, they said, well, since he's not coming, you can come back and work with us again. We said, no, we really can't, because you voted for it. You wanted that to happen. We've been teaching you the truth, and you're not getting it. So we moved our work over to Pistoia, which is where we are now. Here is the church of Pistoia. Now, remember what I said just a few minutes ago at Florence. It's really, really tense. Everybody's kind of arguing all the time. They're always on the verge of a split, even though there's only 30 of them. Pistoia is the exact opposite. Pistoia is wonderful. If you were to visit at Pistoia, even though you don't speak Italian and they don't speak English, they would make you feel welcome immediately. They would make you feel like family. And so we're working now with them, and we really love this congregation, and it's going really, really well. Our focus there is the same as our focus everywhere we've ever worked. Evangelism, edification, that is, teaching people. Remember I said there's a lot of ignorance in the churches. But we're trying to correct that at Pistoia, teaching them what the Bible says. And then we're trying to develop leaders. In Titus 1, verse 5, Paul writes to Titus and says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you may set in order things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city. When we don't have elders, we have something lacking. And so one of the things we're trying to do is get to a point at Pistoia where we can have elders. So let's talk about evangelism. Remember I said a moment ago that one of our biggest problems in Italy is a lack of interest. So how do we combat that? Well, one way we do that is by teaching English through the Bible. And this is a great way to get people's attention. This is a great way to get people in the building. And this is a great way to get people exposed to the Bible, which many of them, even those Catholics, those very faithful Catholics, have never cracked open a Bible in their lives, okay? So we teach English through the Bible. Here's Rebecca teaching some of the little ones. This is a class that I was teaching. This is one of my students, Daniele. I won't go through everybody's life story. This is Alice. Now, she's actually here in this class, but her English level is way, way higher than everybody else's in that class. So now we basically just study online together, she and I. Now, Alice just finished her first year of high school. And she comes from a really good family. Her mom and dad, we've gotten close to them, really, really good people. But in Italy, when you go to high school, you choose like an education path. So you choose your high school. They have like basically a normal general education high school. They have one high school that is scientific. It's like preparing people to be doctors and nurses and work in different sciences. Well, Alice chose the hardest school, which is a classical high school, where they learn Latin and Greek. Now, why am I telling you about this? Because one of the really cool things that I get to do with Alice is not only do we do English through the Bible, but we actually read Greek through the Bible together now, which is really a lot of fun. And it's really, really interesting how we can use that, and how now she can see the Bible, the New Testament anyway, in the original language and read it and understand it. So we're making a lot of progress with her and hopefully her family through her, so be praying about that. Here's Rebecca with one of her students, Marina, who is actually a Russian woman that we met at a park. I met at a park one day, and she heard that I teach English, and she asked if we could teach her, and Rebecca started teaching her. And now she has a friend named Lydia, who is also Russian, and she comes to our house every week and reads the Bible with Rebecca in English, and it's really going well. Here's another opportunity we have. This is really interesting. Right after we moved to Pistoia, I think it was like 2 weeks after we moved our work to Pistoia, this really big group of Chinese people showed up at the door. And they said, "We want to come in and worship with you." Now, of this group, one speaks Italian, one speaks just a little bit of English, and the rest speak Chinese, and that's it. Okay? And so they came to the building, and they asked if they could worship with us, and we invited them in and said, "Sure, come on in." And they came in, and let me tell you something. Italians have a tendency to look down on foreigners. And so this group, they had been to several denominations asking if they could come in and worship, and they were not welcomed anywhere. But our brethren at Pistoia, they have just blown me away with the love that they have shown this group. And so they have come in. Now, we don't know exactly their salvation status. We don't know if they've actually obeyed the gospel, because it's very hard to communicate that with them. So we're teaching them, and little by little, we're getting closer to them and learning about them. This is Nathan. That's his wife, Michelle. And this is Amina. Those are not their real names, but when they moved to the West, when they moved like here to America or to Italy, they adopt a new name, okay? They take on a name of the country where they're living. Well, he chose the name Nathan. I'm going to come back to him in just a second. This guy, when I first met him, his name was Marco, and then a couple weeks later, I said, "Hi, Marco," and he didn't respond. And then I said it again. I said it a few times, and he never responded. And then somebody said, "Oh, he changed his name. He's Nico now." And so, and I think he might have changed it again since then. But anyway, but let me go back to Nathan here. Nathan is the one who speaks just a little bit of English, and he and I have talked quite a bit. And I'm going to tell you something about Nathan. If you ever get a chance to meet him and talk to him, you will never, ever again complain about living in a free country where you have the freedom of religion. This man has been arrested for his faith. He's been harassed. He's been beaten. He's lost work. He's lost family. He had to escape to Italy, where he lives with his wife. That's his wife right there. And they live in a small apartment with several other people. They have no privacy. They have no, their living conditions aren't terrible, but they're not great. And you know what he talks to me, you know what he tells me every time I talk to him? He says, "I thank God that I live in a country with religious freedom. He doesn't care that he's in that situation. He's just happy to be free to worship God. Man, sometimes we take for granted what we have, don't we? But anyway, we've been working with them, and one of the things we're doing with them, oh, and I just like this picture because you can see our Italian brethren and these Chinese folks just sitting together. They can't communicate, but they do. They, you know, use hand signals and Google and everything. And on this day, we had pasta and egg rolls. So it was really fun. And so one of the things we're doing with them is I'm teaching them Italian through the Bible. So I usually teach English through the Bible. I'm teaching them Italian through the Bible. But it's very slow going because they couldn't read Italian. They can read Chinese. I can't read Chinese. But they didn't know what sound the letter A makes. They didn't know what any of the alphabet, you know. Like if you came to Italy and read, you could read the signs. You wouldn't understand them, but you could read them. Well, they couldn't do that. So it's gone very, very, very slowly. But they come every week. And they are so grateful that we're even making this effort for them. And so it's really good. We're making a lot of progress there. Another thing that has happened at Pistoia, when we first arrived at Pistoia, basically there were no kids there. But now we have 13 kids who are attending between ages 10 and 16, okay, who attend most of the time. And that's a wonderful blessing for us. They're all right there at the age of accountability. So we have Anna, for example. She's this right around the same age as Violet. Violet just turned 12, and I think she's still 11, but or she might have just turned 12 as well. This is Christian and Giuseppe. Christian, both of his parents are members of the church. Now, Giuseppe is a really interesting case. Actually, Giuseppe, and he has two brothers, Andrea and Jacopo. They're three brothers. Now, their grandmother is a faithful member of the church. Their uncle is a faithful member of the church. Their aunt is a faithful member of the church. But their father, who's 48 years old, grew up in the church, attends worship every Sunday, has never been baptized. Why? We don't know. But that's their situation. Then we have Ginevra and Carlotta. Their dad is a member of the church. Their mom is not. I'll talk about her more in just a minute. And then we have Violet and Mia and Sophia. Now, me and Sophia live in Italy from December until June. Their dad is running the Faulkner Study Abroad, Faulkner University. They have a study abroad in Italy where the students come to Italy for 6 months or whatever, however many months, 3 months, however long they're there. And he's working with them. So these are two American girls who are now attending Pistoia, and for the first time in her life, this is such a blessing to us, Violet has a best friend or best friends who are not only Americans, but being raised in a Christian home. Their parents are very, very faithful. Violet's never experienced that before. They've come and slept over at our house, she's gone and slept over at their house, and that's just a great blessing. Sometimes we ask, you know, God, am I where I'm supposed to be? Is this where I'm meant to be? I don't know. But at Pistoia, all of a sudden, all of these things are happening right at the same time that we move there. And so we feel confident that we can't say 100% for sure, but we feel confident that we are where God wants us to be. So we have all these kids who are all between age, like I said, 10, 11 to 16. And so we put together this study for them. That at the top there, that says, am I ready to be baptized, basically. Now, this study does not push the kids into baptism. We don't want that. What it does is it equips them to make the decision for themselves. And they are all working on that lesson now, hopefully. And so please be praying for them. Okay. One of the things we do in Italy when we don't have studies, one of the things we're trying to do all the time, we're always thinking about studies. How do we get more people studying? And we had a low period for our studies, so we went out and hung up advertisements in Italian and in Chinese. Now there's a little section right near Pistoia. There's a little section called Chinatown, and it's the craziest place I've ever been in my life because it looks like we're in Italy. Everything looks Italian except for the people. They look Chinese. And I was going around this Chinatown trying to find places that hang up these advertisements, and I couldn't find anywhere. There was no bulletin boards. There was no place where I could see advertisements except there was these little electrical panel boxes every now and then, and they had these white slips of paper taped to them that had Chinese writing and a phone number. I could tell it was a phone number, but I couldn't tell what it said in Chinese. So I said, well, I guess this is where people advertise. I'll advertise too. So I started hanging up advertisements. I did this about 3 or 4 different places. And then I thought, well, I wonder what these other people are advertising. So I pulled out my phone and I got my translator app, and I was able to read in English what they were advertising. I was advertising Bible study, and they were advertising prostitution. So, you know, now you have a choice, you know? And finally, they have a narrow way that they can choose. All right, so talking about education, we do Bible class, which is open to everybody in Italy on Monday nights. And in this class, remember I said there's a lot of ignorance. There's a lot of watered-down teaching. Not in my classes. In my classes, they learn the Bible. They learn what the Bible says. This class was, what does the Bible say? And then we also did a class, the Church of the Bible. And many of the students have told me since these studies, well, boy, I've never heard any of this before. I didn't know any of this. You know, we study instrumental music. We studied organization of the church. We studied women's role in the church. We studied worship. We studied salvation. And they said, boy, I didn't know most of this. So this is going very well, and we're going to continue doing that. Now, I mentioned leadership, equipping leaders. There's supposed to be 2 men pictured here. There's just one. This is Neto, and this who is not here is Giovanni. They're both around 80 years old. And they are 2 of our leaders. They're not elders. Neither one of them is qualified to be an elder because their wives are not Christians. But they do their best. You know, they help out as much as they can. But we have these 2 young men, Tommaso and his wife Sylvia. Tommaso became a Christian 4 years ago, and he has really, really grown. He's on fire for the Lord. He does really well. Sylvia is very, very faithful. She actually brought him to Christ. And then we have Gianluca and his wife Barbara, who did not want her picture taken. Okay. Now, Gianluca is a very, very faithful member of the church. Barbara is not. She's not been baptized. Now, we've been going to Pistoia about once a month for a little over 5 years. And Barbara never came to worship. Not once did I see her at worship. In the last about 2 or 3 months before we came to the States for this trip, she came to worship 2, maybe 3 times. We had never seen her at worship before. She's now a little bit more active. She's a part of a church discussion group we have. She's been a little bit active in that. So please pray for her. Because if she wouldn't become a Christian, these 2 men, not right now, but 5, 10 years from now, they could be elders in the church. So please be praying that Barbara will obey the gospel and become a Christian. Somebody asked me this question a few days ago. He said, have you had much success in Italy? Now, this was what he meant by that question. Have you had baptisms? That's what he meant. Because the way we often measure success as human beings is baptisms. Numbers. We're very interested in numbers. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, Paul writes and says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but God who gives the increase. So when people ask, well, have you had much success? And what they mean is, have you had any baptisms? They're asking if God has had success. Look, we've planted. We've watered. Okay? It's up to God to give the increase, and he is giving that increase. Not at the same rate we saw in Micronesia, but since we've been in Italy, we've seen 16 baptized into Christ. Remember this picture? Daniele, Eleonora, and John. Eleonora in this picture is a Christian. Well, now John is too. Have we had success in Italy? Well, John would say yes. And here's John again. There he is. And these are seven of his high school friends that he invited to my house for a Bible study on a Friday night. And it went really well. We had a really good discussion. Now, of those, this boy here, his name is Dario, and he is the most, like, he seems to be the most interested, the most really wants to study. So we're going to continue to study with him and his girlfriend and John and his girlfriend. When we get back, we've got plans to meet together. John's a very, very busy young man, but we try to get with him. But he is on fire for the Lord. This study happened. Now, he lives in Florence. He goes to church in Florence. And he said, he called me, or I can't remember how he got in touch exactly. I think it started with his mom. But he said, I don't know enough to teach my friends, and I've asked other people to teach them, and nobody will do it. Will you do it? Well, of course I'll do it. That's why I'm here. I've been waiting for something like this. And so now we're working together, and please keep that effort in your prayers. So John was in that one picture with Eleonora and Daniele. There is Daniele. I don't have a picture of him being baptized into Christ, but there he is leading on the Lord's table for the first time as a Christian. He's been baptized into Christ. Have we had much success? I think so. This is Pina. Pina was baptized about a year and a half ago. Her husband, Antonio, was baptized about the time we moved to Italy. He was baptized, and then she would attend worship, but she had not become a Christian until about a year and a half ago. Just a few months after this picture was taken, Pina and Antonio were at a concert. Antonio was standing on some stairs, and he was up on the stairs, and he was having an argument with somebody below him on the stairs. Now, that's not unusual. Italians argue all the time. They love to argue, okay? But this guy, he's arguing with him, he's standing on the stairs. One of that guy's friends came up behind him and punched him in the back of the head, knocked him unconscious, and he fell down the stairs. And this was the front page of all the newspapers the next day. That's your brother in Christ, and what that says is dead at 47 at a concert. So he was murdered right in front of his newly baptized wife. Now, he was a member of the church, so if she'll stay faithful, she can see him again. And we're trying to encourage her with that message, but she struggled, okay? Now, she comes to church a lot, not every Sunday, but when she has enough energy to come. Now, she has two young children. I can't remember their ages. I want to say, like, maybe 6 now and 9, but just imagine that. You've just become a Christian, your husband's a Christian, and he gets murdered like that right in front of you. I mean, that might rock your faith, and her faith is taking a hit for that. So please be praying for her. I mentioned that at Pistoia, we're really, really emphasizing leadership. And I talk about Tommaso, who could one day be one of our elders. Tommaso's a pretty new Christian. He's been a Christian about 4 years. Here he is preaching, and look at what he did. We have a little screen like you do, and he translated it in Chinese. He doesn't speak Chinese. He used an app online for that. But he did that for those Chinese visitors. That's awesome. One Sunday morning, again, after we've been emphasizing leadership, one Sunday morning, the song leader didn't come to church. We were waiting and waiting and waiting for him, and then finally we found out he was sick and couldn't come. Well, nobody asked Tommaso to do this, but he immediately got up and started leading singing. Now, let me tell you something. He is not a very good song leader. In fact, it was kind of terrible. But that doesn't matter. What matters is he did it. You see, he's taking to heart these lessons on leadership. And he's really putting forth an effort. So please be praying for him. Okay, the future. We still live in Florence right now. It's about 45 minutes away. We're actually moving to Pistoia here in just hopefully a few weeks. We are hoping to establish a Bear Valley which is out in Colorado, an extension campus of their program to train these men, these young men like John and Tommaso and Gianluca. We are hopefully 5-10 years from now planting a church in the town next to Pistoia, where there is no church. We have to get Pistoia built up a little bit first, but we have our eye on that town as well. How can you help us? Well, first of all, you can give to the work, and you can give it on that website right there, or you can give it to one of the elders here, and they'll make sure it gets to us. Our monthly support is okay. We're about $300 a month short on our budget, but our real problem right now is one-time support to pay for this trip. This trip has been extraordinarily expensive. It has cost us a fortune to get here and to drive around and visit everybody. So if you can give one time, that would be fine. You don't have to necessarily worry about the monthly support. Then I want to ask you to make sure you get our newsletter. And when you get our newsletter, if you have an email, you can write that down or take a picture of it with your phone and email me and say, add me to the newsletter. And when you get it, respond to it and let us know how you're doing here at Bonnie, or Bonnie. With Bonnie or Bonnie? Bonnie. Okay. Bonnie, Missouri. Doesn't make any sense to me, but that's okay. And so we want to encourage you to respond to those things because it helps us remember that we're not alone. Sometimes it can get very, very lonely out there. Not only are there very few members of the church where we live, the ones that live there aren't very faithful a lot of the time. So please be in touch with us and keep in touch with us. That is the presentation. I want to thank everybody who helped me get it started and get it going. This was the most adventurous one we've had so far on our trip. And I want to thank you for your attention this evening. And as always, we want to give the opportunity for anybody who may not be a Christian. We want to give the opportunity for you to become one tonight. I think probably most people in this room have become Christians, but maybe you haven't. Do you believe in Jesus? The Bible says that our salvation is by grace through faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. You have to believe in Jesus. Jesus himself said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, every denomination within 1,000 miles of here agrees with that. You got to believe. You also need to repent. That is, turn away from your sins. The Bible tells us that in Acts chapter 17, Paul says that God commands all men everywhere to repent. The Bible says you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You have to say, I believe that Jesus is Lord. The Ethiopian eunuch did that in Acts chapter 8, verse 37. And the Bible says that you must be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 37, some people who were convicted by the preaching of Peter said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. If you've not done those things tonight, you need to, so that you can be on your way to heaven. You have done those things, but you've let sin creep back in your life, and you need our prayers. We want to invite you to come to the front and let us know how we can help you while we all stand and sing.